The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, who joins us as well. Always alongside producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Kelly, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay, buddy. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing great. Hey, Kelly, well, by the way, on the show today, we should probably mention, Drew Dinsick is going to join us. Drew was off last week, traveling the Greek islands or something like that. We'll get Drew back. Will Hill will be here later to give us all his bets. And then Paul Spohr, Major League Baseball. We got to talk final stretch of the Major League Baseball season, which is getting tighter and tighter in terms of the final wild card positions in both the American League and the National League now. We'll get into all that, but we must start not only with the two games last night in the NFL, both Monday night games, but we have to start with Circa Survivor. Sadly, this is what happens every year, at least once. Hit it. I'm a survivor. There you go. I'm out. Well done, by the way, Darnell.
Yeah, really DJing back there. I didn't even edit that together. I just gave him a couple of different clips.
I just want to say this because people were nice last night on Twitter. Like, oh, sorry, you're out of Survivor. I am not special. First of all, if you're going to lose Survivor, you want to do it one of two ways. One, you didn't even consider another option that would have won.
Right.
And that is me. There was nothing I considered that actually won this week, so I would have been out every which way. And two, the team you grew up loving ends up putting you out. They were fantastic. And you have a rookie of the year bet on the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. So all that is good. But I just want to point out these Circa Survivor stats. There's a few things I want to bring attention to. One, which is not pictured on the screen as we throw up this graphic. But Kelly, just this week alone, 83. So I'm talking about heading into week three and then what resulted after week three. This is not on the screen. 83.44% of entries were knocked out just this week alone. Of what existed before week three and what has resulted after week three, 83.44% of the remaining entries were out in this week alone. But as far as the 3 week arc of Circa Survivor, I want to call your attention to a few numbers there on the screen. One, 95.5% are out after 3 weeks. That means out of 14,266 entries that began this, only 642 are left. 95.5% are gone. You see the comparisons from the previous 4 years of Circa Survivor. Kelly, there never has been and there never will be another season where 95.5% are gone after 3 weeks.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable. By the way, the Cincinnati Bengals, the biggest culprit of all of this, they've alone have knocked out almost 6,000 total entries
so
just by themselves. New England week one and now Washington week three, 988, by the way, against Washington. If we could throw that graphic up one more time, because there is one other number I want to call attention to, which is the not that one, guys, the old circle one. In the first year of Circa Survivor, the pandemic year, only 1,390 entered. 675 were left after week three. Guess how many? Again, 642 left, meaning are still alive this year when there were 14,000 plus entries.
That's crazy.
There are fewer entries left after week three this year with over 10 times. It's like 11 times the number of entries. It's incredible. It's absolute carnage. And as for the games last, and by the way, congratulations to all that are still alive with 642 entries. If you're part of that, yeah. Good on you. Most of that's from picking the Jets on Thursday night. So good on you, and this should be fantastic. Who knows if this kind of carnage will continue, or if now we'll get into a streak where barely anything happens. But it's just been incredible.
One of the other crazy parts of that graphic, just watching how really in front of your eyes how much this contest continues to grow every year. Well, it's incredible.
You know, someone asked, I don't know if it was on Twitter or someone asked me on text yesterday, do you think the record carnage will make the contest now go in the other direction, that people will be dissuaded from playing it?
Great question.
It's a great question. So. And my answer was not a chance in hell. It is just going to grow and grow and grow. By the way, the intrinsic value of each of those remaining 642 entries is,
oh, don't say it, Gil.
Boop, 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 boop. $22,221.18 after 3 weeks. Oh, man. as far as the games last night, Buffalo Bills fans, man, you got me last night. You look great. It's going to be interesting to ask the question about the four teams last night. Like, what's the biggest story? But Buffalo just absolutely destroys the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game that was over, I don't know, almost around the time that the Washington-Cincinnati game started, 47-10. Josh Allen is now number one in total QBR. He's number one in passer rating. He's number one in EPA per play for quarterbacks. He's number one everywhere. He's your MVP through 3 weeks. Four touchdowns for Josh Allen yesterday. And the Jaguars now 0-3 on the season. We have three 0-3 teams, right? Jacksonville, Tennessee, and the Cincinnati Bengals, as they prevent Tennessee from winning that market. Trevor Lawrence now 0-8 in his last eight starts as the Jaguars quarterback. This was a guy who, when I used to ask him right on the lead up to the draft and right after the draft when he was drafted, is he generational? Before I could even finish the sentence, yes, I was told. No, he is not. He just isn't. And so the bigger question is, Bills great, Jacksonville bad. Bills will definitely be in my top 10 power rankings this week, I'll tell you that much. So good on them. And then
it's definitely a bit of both.
Too, it's definitely
right?
a bit of both.
I mean, like it almost always is, but I think like clearly in that game, like, Buffalo's even better than I thought they were going to be. And hey, nobody loves Josh Allen more than me.
Listen, Bills Mafia, if you hate on me anymore, that means you hate Jesse Pegula. So stop. Now, as far as the other game, the one that knocked out so many of us in Survivor, Washington-Cincinnati, the first game since 1940. With no turnovers and no punts.
That's wild.
Skins win 38-33. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 23 for 254. 12 carries, 39 yards. Three total touchdowns. It's the highest percentage, highest completion percentage, minimum 20 attempts for a rookie in NFL history. The second high, by the way, that's the 21 of 23, right, which is above 91%. It's the second highest completion rate through three games in NFL history for any quarterback, minimum 50 attempts at 80.3%. Only Drew Brees at 80.6% completion rate in 2018 has been better than Jaden Daniels' completion rate the first 3 weeks of the season. But it's so much more than the completion rate. And for those of us who grew up on this franchise, this is the most excited we've been since RG3. The great rookie season of RG3, obviously injuries took care of that for Washington fans. But, you know, the Bengals went up just like your Brownies in Survivor went up 7-0. The Bengals go up 7-0. And then 4th and 2, this was, three 4th down conversions, 3 of 3 for Washington and Jaden Daniels last night. The 4th and 2 on that first drive of the game where he went to Luke McCaffrey for 30. That led to a game tying score later. When it was 14-10, he has been introduced to the incomparable Terry McLaurin, ladies and gentlemen. McLaurin for 55. What a pass that set up Daniels in from 4 himself. That gave Washington a 21-10 lead. And then later, there was a 4th down conversion on a field goal drive where Daniels did it with his legs. But the biggest of all, of course, the 3rd and final of the 4th down conversions. 4th and 4, Washington's up 31-26 late in this ballgame. 4th and 4 at the Cincinnati 39 with just 4 minutes, 25 seconds left to go in this ballgame. Daniels to Zach Ertz for 9, and then 3 plays later at the Cincinnati 27, Daniels, with his face about to get destroyed, throws it up to Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin. If you've listened to this show for all the years that McLaurin has been a Washington Redskin, you know that This guy's my favorite skin since RG3. He is, I will take him over every wide receiver, period. What he brings to a franchise. Touchdown on a pass that we have the, by the way, this is Bill Barnwell saying, this is where Terry McLaurin was when Jaden Daniels threw that ball. What a game. There's a graphic. Look at this. If it's too small on your screen, this is where Jaden Daniels let go of the football. McLaurin is just getting past the 20-yard line. Next Gen Stats had the success rate, the success probability of that play being just over 10%. An unbelievable pass, an unbelievable catch as McLaurin gets the knee down. And Cincinnati did have a touchdown after that to make it a 5-point margin. And they did declare the onside kick. That did not work. And Washington wins it. But my goodness, hope springs eternal now for the co-leaders in the NFC East, the Washington Commodores. So we have now, in those four games last night, what's the biggest story, Kelly? Is it the Washington hope with Jaden Daniels? Is it Buffalo just being that good with the, you know, the after 3 weeks, the presumptive MVP anyway, and Josh Allen? Or is it the futility of the Jaguars and the Bengals? The Bengals, who you and I had both winning the division.
Yep.
And I don't know what's the biggest story of those four.
Yeah, I also saw Cincinnati with the best offensive game of the season last night.
Yes.
Analytically, statistically. It's got to be Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, specifically Jaden Daniels. I think is the story.
I have been saying all three of these weeks, what was my comment about him? He's so comfortable, almost too comfortable, I said, right? And he does lull you into this sense of, is he so easy for him? Like, this can't be a good thing, right? He was great at ASU. He was obviously great at LSU. He has been great through 3 weeks. It's early, but Jaden Daniels now your short shot to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at +150.
Yeah, and I think rightfully so. Him +150, Neighbors +250, Harrison +350. I think those all make sense right there.
But he's a quarterback, so it should be a bigger gap.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think the other thing to keep in mind is wild with some of these results is look at some of the defenses that the Bills and Commanders have played against. Like, it's pretty bad.
The Washington Commanders, the last two games under Jaden Daniels, no punts, none.
They've never been
stopped. Not a single turnover for Daniels yet this year. Coming back with Drew Dinsick next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números for those listening in Spanish. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin from Circa. Let's get to your tweets. What do y'all have to say? Always appreciate the tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Drew Dinsick standing by the way. Stat, Muse. Josh Allen at halftime was 22 of 28 for 247, four touchdowns in 18 minutes.
Not bad.
Not too bad. By the way, there was a point in that game early where it was 14 to nothing and the Jags had 1 yard. Sports odds history. The largest NFL favorite of the week has lost outright in each of the first 3 weeks. There it is. Cincinnati, the culprit in weeks 1 and 3. Obviously, Baltimore getting a lot of people in Survivor in week 2. 2001 was the last time the largest favorite of the week lost outright in 3 straight weeks within the same season. How about that? Thank you, Blake, from Sports Odds History, or as we like to call him, Blake.
Blake.
This is from Circa themselves. These are the stats that I was pointing out earlier. Guys, let's go to the tweets that I had prior to, if you could. But there's Circa Sports. Okay, there they go. And those are some of the tweets we got. Let me read a few more. These are, this is from... This is from Kevin Ryan. Gil, is it time to start the conversation that it looks like now 2 years in a row, the better quarterback was picked in the number two position rather than the number one? Let's see. Brian M. Oh, yes. The Evan McPherson field goal miss. He said, with regards to the Washington-Cincinnati game, missed field goal should count as turnovers. It's basically the quarterback taking a knee on fourth down for a 7 to 8 yard loss. Bentley. Can't wait for this year's Circus Survivor documentary showing the formation of a class action lawsuit against the Bengals and Larry Matthews Jr. Numbers game just in time to distract me from reviewing a 784-page contract at work. Oh, glad we could help. And then the Las Vegas 514, we got a lot of these. Hi, I'm Jaden Daniels, the new rookie quarterback. Hi, I'm Terry McLaurin. I'm a really good wide receiver if you throw me the ball. Gil, they finally were introduced to one another. Yes, they were. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think well, I think there was a lot of us thinking about you last night in those situations. Like, hey, there he
is, the incomparable Terry McLaurin. I wonder if he introduces himself that way, as the incomparable Terry McLaurin. Moneyline Marv, I expect a full homer breakdown of the game last night. How did I do, by the way, Moneyline Marv? How did I do? And then Mike Stacks. Oh, being in Survivor with a partner sounds like a great idea until you can't agree. Final analysis. Stay solo. Do your own picks and avoid headaches. Cheers to all and all. Good night. I guess he lost in Survivor and he didn't agree with his partner's pick. Sounds like. And then Ray Pierce. Let me just read this one. I think I have 2024 pegged, Gil. All kinds of random goofy results will happen all year. Then the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. Yep. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right, Ray Pierce. We'll read some more coming up. Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And let me just say this. He's glowing. He is radiant. But I'll use the word radiating to describe Drew Dinsick on your television screen right now, fresh from the Greek Isles, at Will underscore Capper, co-host of both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports. Drewski, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing tremendously well. Typically after a vacation, I'm recharged. I'm ready to take on work, take on handicapping. Like, let's go. I don't think I've ever been more depressed returning to life in California. How come I can't just wake up and look at the beautiful cerulean blue sea every morning? Like, this is very, very, very tough to kind of return to what is a very blessed life that I lead, and have nothing but fond stories and things to say about our hospitality that we had in Greece. Had just an incredible time in the islands there, and actually got to watch a lot of football. The timing worked out well.
Really?
to catch a lot of the good stuff. So I'm ready for real life to start again. But I got to tell you, this is about as depressed as I've ever been post vacation.
A lot of sympathy, I'm sure, coming your way. Yeah. A lot of people coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Real bad
tough,
for you.
tough life this guy has.
Yeah.
Let me ask you the question I asked. I asked it of Kelly. I kind of was asking it out loud to everybody last segment, which is from the two games last night. The positive of the Bills just steamrolling the Jags and Washington with Jaden Daniels going to 2-1. With an outright win over the Bengals as 7.5-point dogs versus also the futility stories of the Jags and the Bengals both falling to 0-3, and the Jags 0-8 now in Trevor Lawrence's last 8 started games. What's the biggest story of that bunch?
The biggest takeaways I thought were the kind of the crystallization at the top of the market for MVP and O'Roy with the Bills and Daniels.
Yeah.
The negatives, you can point to a lot of negatives, and I don't know, there are a lot of takeaways. And actually, thank goodness Monday Night Football had all of this stuff to talk about, because the Sunday action was not great.
Yes,
there are some phenomenal storylines that came out of those last night's games. And I think, the fact that Cliff Kingsbury and Daniels and McLaurin are already at this stage in week 3 is pretty awesomely positive. But I will say that was sort of the ideal opponent for them, which is a Bengals team that not only had huge limitations coming into this game, but then had additional injuries to where the rushing attack took all of the pressure off of the passing attack, which really allowed them to take some of those deep shots. There was hardly any pass rush. The unheralded positive for the Commanders is I had this offensive line pegged as a bottom 5 unit coming into the season, and they're playing like a top 5 unit. Some of it may be opponent based, but just in general, the fact that they were able to hold off the Giants last week to the tune of kind of getting a win against an elite D line, and then last night basically just absolutely dominating, I think that's worth paying attention to. And really the surprise success stories that you look at across the NFL all kind of have that similar through line where Steelers offensive line has been amazing. The Saints offensive line was expected to be bottom 5. They've been solid, kind of that aspect of play being able to help sustain offense, which, is hard to come by in today's NFL for whatever reason, has been a huge story. And, I had high confidence in the Bills last night. Two wins for me with the Bills and the over in the nightcap. And I still feel like I left money on the table because they were both such rocking chair winners, both basically home by halftime. But the Bills, Josh Allen is playing at an MVP level, but boy, oh boy, is his offensive line absolutely kicking butt. Like, they are giving him all the time in the world to make the right decision. And if you give Josh Allen time in the world, to scramble if the, read 1 and 2 aren't open, and you allow him to make plays out of structure on top of what is already, a top 2 quarterback, clearly top 2 quarterback in the NFL, then, he's going to look like this. And the fact that he's got 7 touchdowns and no interceptions, maybe his MVP price is a little bit inflated, because presumably the interceptions aren't going to completely, just evaporate from his game. And he'll have, that people will kind of use that as a knock if he does have a couple of loose performances. But what he's able to do both on the ground and through the air is pretty amazing. And I think Bills being sort of your number 1 power rated team, as long as they're this healthy offensively, and really key on the offensive line, as long as this offensive line stays healthy and Josh Allen doesn't injure his throwing shoulder or throwing hand, Bills are going to be a healthy favorite to win the AFC, in my opinion, foreseeable future. So big takeaways for me were the more of the positives. on the negative side of the ball, we are approaching what is one of my favorite narratives as sort of an armchair commentator on NFL, which is we could have a leave him on the tarmac situation with the Jags heading to London in a few weeks.
Right.
And Dougie P just on this insane losing tear. Because, you know, you look at their schedule, you look at how poorly Trevor Lawrence is performing, you look at how just chaotic and undisciplined and poorly coached the offensive looks to be at this point. And you wonder if they sustain two losses to two bad teams in London, if that ultimately is the time that they elect to pull the trigger and bring in somebody else, because it doesn't really feel like he has kind of established the winning culture that they were expecting him to do in Jacksonville.
A bunch of the Doug Peterson won't get out of halftime to the team plane texts were being flown around yesterday, were being sent around yesterday. By the way, Josh Allen, 2-1 to win MVP. Patrick Mahomes, 3-1. Everybody else is double digits and beyond. And I want to ask, oh, I'm sorry, Kelly.
Doug Peterson, plus 150 to be the first coach, first head coach
there,
fired.
There you go. plus 150 to be the first head coach fired. How about this from last night? Washington, 7-1 to win the NFC East. I just have to ask. 7-1 to win the NFC East. They're tied with the Eagles at 2-1 just after three games. And because of the Bengals loss, let me ask you this. The unthinkable. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the second short shot to win the AFC North at 2-1. Would you bet either the Commodores or the Steelers in their respective divisions?
Well, I have some I have some positive stuff for the Commodores in general. Preseason that I was ready to sell to anyone at a discount who was willing to take it. I'm not really thinking that highly this at this point, even though they do, you know, obviously have, you know, two hard fought wins in the bank again, you know, one of them against a team that they were expected to clearly lose to. But the Commodores, Commanders, their defense is still quite poor, their pass defense,
yes,
especially.
Yeah.
And, you know, so and I'm guessing that Jalen Daniels is going to have the ups and downs that every rookie quarterback does. And in a game where things aren't going well for him and, you know, there, you know, that there's less support from, a running game that can't be stopped, then, you know, they're going to have a tougher time winning. But boy, oh boy, both the Eagles and the Cowboys look fatally flawed. Eagles already with huge health questions, and Cowboys just look, they can't really figure out how to win under McCarthy at this point. So, I don't hate the Commanders. The Steelers, I think the plan with the Steelers is wait until their schedule gets tougher and then take some of the bigger prices in that market.
The gauntlet is still coming for the Steelers, but had to ask. Drew Dinsick on week 4 in the National Football League. Looking forward, that's on the other side, right here in a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Well, perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted. Either way, I introduce to you a little something I like to call Sport Trade. The app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. SportTrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Now here's your live update. Live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. We've gotten that part right. Coming to Arizona and Virginia soon. And I mean really soon. Download SportTrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Show would be nothing without you, the greatest listeners in the game, and I mean it. Always appreciate the feedback. Remember, funny is always good. Good, bad, doesn't matter. You can murder us if you want, as long as you're funny. RB Treff, just follow VSIN. Survivor, if nothing else, help me understand women a little.
Okay.
I don't want solutions. Don't mansplain it to me. I just want to feel heard and move on from it. That's it. And a spa day sounds nice. And I wouldn't say no to ice cream. A lot of ice cream. He's very upset that he's out of Survivor. By the way, the reason we talk about Survivor 2 is I said this in the Quest for $9.2 million documentary. I'm like, none of us knows a GD thing. None of us. And it has never been more applicable than it is this year. Jesse Welch. Hey, Gil, hypothetically, if Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers were both to maintain the production that they both just put up in their last game, can Daniels and the Washington market beat out the New York Bias to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? Well, yes, because Daniels is a starting quarterback for an NFL team. And if this was to continue, he would have zero turnovers in the entire season.
It's more like can neighbors beat out the quarterback bias.
Yeah. That you get Jaden Daniels has no turnovers. And again, Washington has not punted since week one. It can't be stopped. Jason McKinney, I blame Kelly. Oh, we got a lot of these.
Yeah, we did.
I blame Kelly for our elimination from Survivor since he played the Survivor song prematurely. But you're not to blame for that, right?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, you are? You're taking the blame? Yeah, I'm blame. Yeah. All right. Kelly Bidlin, then. Kelly Bidlin's fault. All of it. This is from Sam. Oh, this is great. Listen to this one. Following up on this after tonight, he goes, I'm in a Survivor pool of close to 100 people. It officially ended tonight. Who won? Well, our organizer made the rule that if you didn't make a pick by 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, you were defaulted to the shortest favorite on the board. So listen to that. So he goes, the person who won the pool never made an actual pick. Auto-picked each week. Vikings week one, Cardinals week two, Ravens week three. All the shortest favorites each week. My initial reaction, he says, is what a terrible rule by the organizer. It should be the biggest underdog. Essentially, he says, penalizing for not picking. Well, here's the wildest part of it. If that was the case, the individual still would have won the pool. That would have looked like the Pats beating the Bengals week one, the Raiders beating the Ravens week two, and now the Commanders beating the Bengals week three. Unreal. And again, that tells you why. Why do we bet baseball and tennis and other things? Because this league is mashugana, I believe is the technical term. It's just absolutely crazy. Sly Bry. Officially active, Jameson Williams, Jaden Reed. Officially inactive, Jordan Love, Kenneth Walker, Jake Ferguson, Josh Downs, Marshawn Lattimore, DJ Reed. There you go, DJ Sly Bry. Okay, let's get back to Drew Dizzy. One more. Sly Bry saying the ultimate definition of mixed emotions was me last night because I did have Cincinnati and Survivor, but then my team, Washington, and the fact that I have Jaden Daniels, Offensive Rookie of the Year, at 7-1. Both of those looking real good. Drew Dinsick now from the progressive guest line once again at whale underscore capper. NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. And, of course, Dinsick Classic, the deep dive with Andy Molitor. Week four. What are you betting so far? What have you bet?
Well, first to reply to the one tweet that I thought was interesting about Neighbors v. Daniels. If Daniels continues the production we saw last night, he's going to be in the MVP discussion.
That's right.
You can pretty much write, Olroy would be like minus 10,000.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's possible, but I do have to say that, again, like the offensive line is performing a lot better than we expected. And Cliff Kingsbury seems to at least kind of pivoted away from the horizontal passing game, which was the one thing that I had reservations about that experiment working at all. So we'll see. Week four looks tough. Honestly, there was probably like 10 sides and totals that stood out for me week three, like on the open. And I just kind of, let that ride for the week. But I only see four things that really stand out right now until we get some of the injury reports, a little bit more clarity on what's going on. The injury reports that matter the most are pretty clearly San Francisco and the LA Chargers. I can't believe the Chargers lost basically every important player in that game against Pittsburgh. The Mike Tomlin voodoo is so strong. Makes me want to look at that coach of the year price a little bit more carefully.
You think that's the way to bet the Steelers? Mike Tomlin, coach of the year?
Without question.
Yeah.
He finally got votes for the first time last year, Gil. And this was the year that there was the least amount of support and belief that this team was going to do anything. There was no preseason hype.
Raising my hand. I bet them
the fewest wins, and I think they probably already have enough wins not to lose that bet, or not to ultimately win that market. So, presumably, like the way Fields played was good enough in today's NFL to continue to win games when your defense is the best. And so, I'm done kind of doubting them for the time being until their schedule, until they play like a real opponent. We'll see.
O'Connell, McDonald, and Harbaugh still shorter shots than Mike Tomlin, who's still 10-1.
Insane. The Harbaugh and Kevin O'Connell, I get the Kevin O'Connell thing, but I really have a tough time, even if the Vikings kind of do get there, if he's going to be the kind of major, if he's going to earn the credit, right? Because so much of it should go to Brian Flores at the defense, right? It's one thing to resurrect Sam Darnold's career, but he was still a top 2 pick, and you have Justin Jefferson, who's a top 1 non-quarterback in the NFL. So Kevin O'Connell, to me, I think is going to have a little bit tough time kind of getting the credit pie to where he deserves to be plus 350. McDonald and the Seahawks, to me, and I was kind of going to go there first with week 4. They are kind of, and I I'm heavy McDonald in this market. I think I bet 30-1, 25-1, everything I could find when I was in Vegas out there for Bet Bash. And I am very, very, very nervous that the Seahawks are sort of the undefeated fraud in the next year.
Me too. Yep.
Like, you look at the quality of quarterback that they've played so far. Congratulations. You got Bo Nix in his first start. Congratulations. You got Jacoby Brissett behind an offensive line that can't do anything. Congratulations. You get to play against Skylar Thompson, and I forget even who relieved
Thompson. And really couldn't put the Dolphins away till the very end, really.
No. Yeah. They really couldn't. And they couldn't put the Patriots took them to overtime. Mm-hmm. Patriots are terrible. So yeah, that was there is massive fraud watch for this Seattle team, and most of it's on the offense for me. The defense looks decent, and the defense again kind of gets a little fortunate this week going up against the Lions team that I'm expecting to be without Frank Ragnow. I think that that sets up well for, you know, Lions really just haven't showed us any type of chemistry whatsoever offensively to this point in the season. It may come later, but it's not here now. And then you take your center out of the mix. That's huge. The offensive line in general has not done a good job pass protection. And so I think Seattle can give the, I will never forget what Mike McDonald did to Jared Goff in Baltimore last year. That was just an absolute masterclass of how to frustrate a quarterback who really relies heavily on the offensive coordinator to set the table for him. So to me, that looks like a nice matchup for Seattle defense. And then the Seattle offense, I have huge questions about going up against the Lions defense that can pass rush with an offensive line in Seattle that I have, again, huge questions about on the road, noisy arena. So under 46 is the clear, obvious standout for me there. I know that it's come down from the opener 48. I bet it at 47, actually, but I still think 46 is too high. This one should be closer to 44, in my opinion. And in general, like this, that ultimately could just be a battle of attrition where, you know, best special teams field goal unit ends up being the deciding factor in that Monday night football game. So a lot of thoughts on Seattle. I hope they keep winning. I hope McDonald stays in the mix for coach of the year. But boy, oh boy, did I need to see more out of that team overall against real competition. And this is your first real test. So fired up for that game. The other ones stood out to me sidewise. I'm going to be the donkey that goes to the well and takes the Bills money, Bills plus money this week. I'm not seeing it with the Ravens. I know that the ultimate final score against the Cowboys was not indicative of what just an absolute class, put on display that was by the Ravens. But last year's Ravens don't give up that lead. They, bury the Cowboys 40-3. And there are problems with this Ravens defense, the special teams, the penalties, like a lot of things about what the Ravens are doing right now look pretty questionable to me. And everything that the Buffalo Bills do, just speaks to them being an absolute truck. I know it's a short week. I know that we've seen a lot of teams come off of really impressive primetime performances and then just absolutely lay eggs the following week. But the Bills to me should be a pick 'em in this game, not plus 110 on the money line. So give me some plus money Bills. The other two sides that stood out to me are the Jets at -7. I played that at -110. I think you can still get that price around. Nothing about, the Jets having extra rest to prepare for Bo Nix spells success for the Broncos offense in this contest. And I think the Jets are kind of building a little bit of momentum here in general on offense. So give me the Jets -7. Prefer -110, but don't mind laying -115. And then lastly, I see no separation between the Saints and the Falcons. Saints offensive line performing well enough to hold off the Falcons' meager pass rush. I think that Saints can win that game.
Drew, no more vacations during football season, okay?
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm going to wine country in a week, but I'll still be on with you guys.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. Drew Didzik, everybody, at @whale_capper. We'll come back. Awards in MLB and NFL next.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, the perfect complement to VSiN on air broadcasts. You missed any of the Circus Survivor numbers that we had earlier on the show? Well, Adam Burke has all the carnage by the numbers at vsin.com. Adam's also with his Week 5 college football power ratings. Zach Cohen on the Heisman odds. JBT on his college football Week 5 thoughts. It's all there at vsin.com. Check it out.
Reminder, the NHL betting guide out.
Yes.
Just got an email from Adam Burke about it.
Yes. We were talking about it earlier on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, you just wanted to point
just
it out again.
Just plugging it again.
Oh, okay.
Plugging it again.
We actually have a...
Adam worked hard on that.
He did work very hard on it. We had a tweet from someone about the... just talking about the NFL and how it's killing him in betting. And he said, oh, great, the NHL betting... Oh, he says, the numbers guy says, the VSiN hockey guide is out. I'm going to fashion it into a tourniquet to stop this NFL hemorrhage to my bankroll.
Yeah.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Hoops by Hoots. Replace NFL power ranking segment with those guest power rankings you were just talking about. I'm wondering who will attack you for ranking someone too low for that list. Absolutely, someone will. Just like they get mad last year at the Lions not being in there, this year the Bills not being in there.
Great idea. This is a list we will never be making because we will be losing one or two people somehow.
Oh, I wanted to bring this up. This is great. This is from the real Joby. He says, has the statute of limitations passed on DeMar Hamlin's comeback player of the year candidacy? With an interception last night, regular playing time for a top 10 D, coupled with the outcry from last year's result, does 10-1 present value? This is a great question. We were actually throwing this around via text yesterday. And by the way, that was the most universally heartwarming part of that Bills-Jags game last night was when DeMar Hamlin picked off a pass.
Yeah.
And it was this amazing sort of, I'm getting chills just talking about it, amazing sort of arc to a story that we all were, you know, the entire country was present for, where we worried for this guy's life. On a football field. I mean, I remember Todd Wishnev texting me, are we going to see someone die on an NFL football field? Is that what we're watching? And here he is, having made his recovery, and he gets a pick last night. And is that a viable betting thing? Could a year after, right? We all thought DeMar Hamlin, my God, if he just shows up, he's the comeback player of the year. Obviously, it didn't happen. I'll never understand it. But now, because he's actually playing a year later, would they consider him for comeback player of the year now, a year later? Does it fit the new criteria?
That's what I just pulled up right now.
What's the give us that criteria.
Okay, the spirit of the AP Comeback Player of the Year Award is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time the previous season. The decision to provide this guidance was made last December and could not be implemented for the 2023 award because the season was almost complete.
Okay, I will call that the DeMar Hamlin rule change.
Yep.
It is literally, they're so embarrassed that he didn't get it. We must now define this in a way where someone like that can never not win it again. Could he win it? Is 10-1 on DeMar Hamlin a viable bet right now? I think it might be. Except for the fact that you have, like, now you have the Andy Daltons of the world, right, and all this kind of stuff. But it's an interesting conversation because I do think there is a bit of makeup call in there.
I do.
It's a possibility.
I'm just like the face I'm making right now because this is
we
want to do the clarification of the award. But like, OK, what's the OK, if I'm going to go off of what they're telling me this award is voted on, then
he should win. It's one of those changes where it's like, it's for him, but he may never reap the benefit of it kind of thing.
Correct.
Yeah. And like we said last year, all we did was talk about this last year. And so now we're so snake bit on comeback player of the year that we're.
Yeah. But the problem is you're going back from the incident happened two seasons.
No, I know that. So then the counter argument is, what is he coming back from? Nothing happened to him last year. Right. Which is just a brain dead thing to say. But I get it literally.
Like it is. But if they're giving us these written rules now, it doesn't check the box. But I also don't know that. Like how did Sam Darnold's 3-1 in the.
Well, exactly. So there's the Darnolds and the Daltons of the world and all that stuff. Listen, look at us. There's sometimes it's okay to say, I have no idea. I have no idea what to tell you.
I think the answer to the initial question, yes. I wouldn't blame anybody who wanted to put a few bucks down on DeMar Hamlin 10-1. Do I know that's going to matter, though?
Not only would I not blame anyone, but I almost commend you for having it just as a principled wager. A principled wager. Jesse Welch, it's hilarious to me that Caleb Williams texted his punter after he got drafted. Yes, saying you won't be punting much. And then Daniels is the one refusing to let his punter sniff the field. Ah, yes. The irony was not lost on me either. This is from, is that all we got there? Oh, that's all we got.
I thought the, I don't know if it was halftime or post-game. Did you catch the, there was a studio conversation about the, they're talking about DeMar Hamlin's pick. And there's, and one of the, I don't remember who it was. One of the guys goes immediately, it's like, oh man, look at that terrible overthrow by Trevor Lawrence. It was like, can we just be positive for a minute and say like, it's DeMar Hamlin getting an interception in the NFL and how cool that is?
So cool. T for three said, everyone indeed talking Circa Survivor. After the Niners lost, my 14-year-old asked, how many are left at Circa? Good parenting.
That's great.
Yeah. Essa Enright, Stephen Enright, Skeens to beat out Jackson Merrill. Oh man, will Jason still make money? You guys
find
pay
out
such,
tomorrow.
You guys pay such close attention. I love that. Jason just wants you to know that no matter what happens, he's going to make money either way. And then Donnie Miller saying, Hard Rock Cincinnati Survivor. Entering week three, he had four entries. Of the entire 44 remaining, he split them between Cleveland, Tampa, Las Vegas, and Cincinnati.
Oh, man.
And then some guy won with Seattle. Amazing. Okay. NFL last undefeated team. There are five undefeateds. Chiefs, Bills, Vikings, Steelers, Seahawks. All are 3-0. The Chiefs are minus 120, and then everybody else is 5-1 or longer on this list. Bills, Vikings, 5-1. Steelers, 6-1. Seahawks, 8-1. The fact, again, that we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers in the last undefeated market is just, it is not lost on us about how this is the biggest, potentially the biggest egg on the face thing that's ever happened here. But if you, first of all, you don't have a bet in, you've never had a bet in this, or you
no, did. No, I'm just thinking it's fun to track these now about how rapidly they're changing.
I just want to point
Steelers
out that
6-1.
I just want to point out that my Jets bet was exactly, you know, would exactly have been at this point what I expected it to be. Was if you can beat the Niners, you could at 15-1. It was a great last undefeated. Will Hill had this also, right? Will Hill was the one who first actually talked about it on the show. But oh well, they did lose to the Niners, so they're out. And the Chiefs have not really played all that great. Their offense isn't that dynamic. But minus 120, they're the favorite here. Would you bet this now?
No, and if anything, I'd look longer shots. Like, okay, the Chiefs schedule upcoming, right? They're at the Chargers. Yes, they're massive road favorites this week. You get the Saints and you're at the 49ers. Like, that's not exactly easy. The Bills at the Ravens, at the Texans, at the Jets the next 3 weeks. We're going to really find out who the Bills are in the next 3 weeks.
You're going to land on the Steelers, aren't
like
you?
You know me. There's nobody bigger than a bigger Josh Allen fan than me. Yep. The next 3 weeks will really tell us how good this team is.
Yep. The Seahawks you can't go to because I think they're a bit fraudulent at 3-0. As much as I want my McDonald's Coach of the Year ticket to get home, but they've got the Lions this week, so I don't think you bet the Seahawks. And then the Pittsburgh that leaves the Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-1.
It's the only one I can make a case for.
You almost just have to laugh at this
Colts.
Point. You really do. This is incredible.
At Colts, home against the Cowboys, at the Raiders, home against the Jets, October 20th.
So the Cowboys and Jets would be the ones that you sort of raise an eyebrow. Yet with the Cowboys, you can't completely dismiss it.
Don't know that yet. Yeah.
You can't completely dismiss it. I can't believe we're at this point.
I mean, and then it's after the Jets, it's Giants and Commanders.
Yep.
Although I'm talking like those are easy games. I don't know why I'm saying that.
Also, by the way, though, I mean, and I say this respectfully, Kelly, if they were to lose to the Colts, it wouldn't be the most shocking
not
thing
at
in
all.
The world. Now, we did get a tweet about, hey, what about Anthony Richardson and Puka Nacua now for Offensive Player of the Year? Obviously, Nacua not even back in the lineup. You can't bet Anthony Richardson. You got to stop with this. Yeah. Anthony Richardson is 32nd in EPA per play.
Yeah, he's
expected
he's
points
real bad.
Added per play. He's 32nd. That puts him behind Bryce Young.
Yeah. High ceiling, low floor, Gil. High ceiling, low floor. We haven't seen much of that ceiling yet.
By the way, 1-2 in EPA per play. Number one, Josh Allen, who's number one in everything. Jaden Daniels, number two. Just want to throw that out there.
Okay.
3 weeks. Last winless. You only have three candidates here. These are the 3-0-3s. Titans, even money. Jags, plus 120. And the Bungles.
The Benglass.
The Benglass are 5-1. Now, the Bengals are hosting are traveling to play Carolina this week. I mean, you got to win that, don't you? You have to win that football game. The Jaguars and the Jaguars as well They're at Houston. They're a big dog. And the Titans, you know, the Titans, who people feel like they're the presumptive favorite in this right now. But, you know, the Titans are at Miami. They could easily win. The bet's probably the Jags at this point, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is 0-8 in his last day. He can't win a game. They've got to be the one you would look at right now if you want to get involved in this. We'll come back. Paul's Sport. We got to talk baseball. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.